Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner reminding you on our way back to this conversation. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of services, financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. More information at www.mecu.com. We, in our continuing conversations and partnerships with the City Paper, we are going to look at several articles they've written over the coming weeks and have these conversations on the air. We're joined in the studio by Baynard Woods once again, senior editor for the City Paper. Baynard, good to see you.
You too, Mark. Thanks for having us.
Nether is with us, street artist, collaborator on the Wall Hunters Project, bringing together artists to create large-scale art pieces on the sides of vacant properties that publicly name the negligent property owners. Good to see you in the studio, Nether.
Good to see you too.
Good to see you. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has.
And Carl Ott's with us, Pigtown resident, founder of the blog Baltimore City Slumlord Watch, runs Housing Policy Watch. Carol, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
410-319-8888 is the number here to join in this conversation. Let's begin. So what is this article, Baynard? What are you bringing to us?
Well, so
you wrote it.
I did. And I mean, but they were really the subject of the heart of the story. So they came to me and it had been all over the media. There'd been a lot of different stories about this project where they're trying to use street art to shame and to bring attention to the really big problem that the city's facing with vacant properties. And it seemed to me like the perfect story for us to sort of lay back on and wait until they were really at the point of having it done and then talk to them and really to try to talk to, like you said, some of the residents and see people who are really being affected by this kind of the blight that is all over the city, especially in East and West Baltimore.
So, and what is at the heart of this, Carol?
I think it's both the property owners' neglect of the properties in our communities and also the city's lack of proactive planning. I mean, this is not a new problem.
Vacant houses.
Yes.
People who own vacant houses not being held accountable, including the city.
Including the city.
Being held accountable to itself, to us.
Exactly. Well, to us.
To
taxpayers,
us.
Taxpayers, voters. Yes.
And you highlight, we'll talk about the people you highlighted in this article, because I think they're really important. In the next couple of weeks, maybe we can get them on to join us as well. So what is this campaign you have launched and others of graffiti artists to attack the wall, so to speak?
Yeah.
Some people do see it as an attack.
Some people do. And street artists, I'd like to make that, you know,
fine
difference.
I'll change the nomenclature.
Pretty much, you know, the idea is to put up, we've put up 17 pieces on vacant houses owned by people that we consider to be neglectful landowners.
How did you target them? How did you know who you were targeting?
Well, a lot of the spots, well, pretty much it all came together about like 8 months ago now. Me and Carol would go out and look for these properties, you know, just do research, talk to residents about, you know, properties in their neighborhoods that have been problematic to them that they have not been able to, you know, get dealt with. And after talking to these residents and finding some spots that were, you know, very visible to the eye, like on major routes and stuff like that, you know, we decided to, you know, like choose certain properties as installations and others not to choose them. And, you know, then from there just got community support behind it and found an artist who could work with the story of that neighborhood.
And you actually, some of the art you put up is are highlighting people and painting pictures of people who live in the neighborhoods who are actually trying to stand up to defend their neighborhoods.
Yes,
and have been ignored. I mean, like this project, I guess the bottom line is we are trying to catalyze a larger conversation on Baltimore's vacancy issue that includes everybody, you know, just not just City Hall and the developers and the money people, you know, the people who have lived in this neighborhood, who have paid taxes, you know, and, you know, these people should, you know, have priority over, you know, building places for new residents, you know, who haven't lived in this city.
So one of the most important things about both the work you all are doing and the piece you wrote, Baynard, Carol Ott, and then we'll come back to this after this, this brief break, is people forget that around these vacant houses, people live, have been living for 30, 40, 50 years in these homes and want to live there.
Absolutely.
And that's what we forget. And all this blight, there are human beings in the midst of the blight who want to live a different life.
They don't let me forget.
And we shouldn't forget. We're going to come back and pick this up with our City Paper conversation. We'll come back from this break. Don't go away. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back here on the Mark Steiner Show on WEAA. And support for WEAA is provided by Monroe Shocks and Struts. Information available at monroe.com. We are having our city paper conversation, which we will look at in a much deeper way in the coming weeks because this is a very important story. A piece written by Baynard Woods in the city paper called Urban Artillery, Wall Hunters Takes on Slumlords Crippling Baltimore Neighborhoods. We are joined by Baynard Woods, who wrote the article, senior editor for the city paper, Nether, street artist, collaborator of the on the Wall Hunters Project, which brings together artists to create large-scale art pieces on the sides of vacant properties that publicly name the negligent property owners, and Carol Ott, Pigtown resident, founder of the blog Baltimore City Slumlord Watch, and runs a housing policy watch and is a troublemaker in a good sense in our community.
Thank you.
And you were about to say when we went to break.
I don't remember.
Okay, let's see. Well, let me ask this question very directly. So what do we think keeps the city from being able to directly respond to these landlords? If we can have eminent domain to deal with certain, you know, development projects, what stops us from taking these houses and just either tearing them down or turning them over to people to rehab them who will live in them?
I think it's politics. And I think also the city is afraid that it will be seen as taking an anti-development, anti-landlord stance, which I don't think any city wants to be seen as being anti-development.
Robert Stripe wrote in just now. He said, one question to ask is, if the city is neglecting blighted neighborhoods not, quote-unquote, worthy of enforcement or revitalization, focusing investment and enforcement on neighborhoods that can be gentrified may boost property taxes but ignores the lower income, often minority residents, who want to live in other neighborhoods. What's your response to that?
I think that we need to just kind of like look at our, you know, priorities here. And I think our priorities need to focus on the residents, you know, creating places like the city. Pretty much they're choosing which neighborhoods to demolish, which neighborhoods to keep. I think a better approach, for instance, would be rather than demolishing a whole neighborhood, taking that one block that, you know, has hope in creating smaller, stronger communities. And I think that's where the focus needs to be. Nobody wants to be displaced. But people mainly just don't want to leave their neighborhoods.
I want to come back to what you just said, is kind of because we're not thinking creatively about how to attack this problem. Baynard, you've, in this article, what would be your take on all this? I mean, what does it say to you?
I mean, it's such a difficult problem. One, to be fair to the city, that it's not that after 50 years of losing population, that, I mean, in some cases, why the city doesn't enforce it is because they are the landlords already. The city owns so many of these properties that. You know, but the city's also really small. And so I think when they do really worry, when we were on a little while ago talking about Station North and the sort of central corridor in Baltimore, that they're having a hard time dealing even with the center of the city. But only 2 miles out, where we were off talking to Shawnee Smith, was 2 miles from the, you know, city hall. And so the city's pretty small geographically. And how to maintain a way that we can keep areas being vibrant. I mean, there was so much vibrancy going on in that little neighborhood where the house was just crumbling right beside hers. But her house was a beautiful house. And I don't have any answers. I mean, fortunately, that's not my job to have answers, but to find people who might have them.
So what is the answer in your perspective, Carol, to that particular issue?
I think, honestly, the answer is if you look at historically the group, the demographic that shores up failing cities and also improves strong cities, it's the people who earn between $25,000 and, say, $55,000 or $45,000 a year. It's sort of your lower middle class working folk. And those are the people who pay the bulk of tax revenue, according to the IRS report that I just looked at yesterday or day before. So I think we need to create more affordable housing opportunities for that group. And once you have this influx of people within that group, they tend to improve neighborhoods. They tend to stay. They tend to put down roots because they're upwardly mobile. And so they're going to be moving to bigger and better houses. And eventually they're going to be moving from rental to home ownership. And their taxes are going to increase. The revenue off them is going to increase. And there really aren't any opportunities in Baltimore City. When you earn $30,000, $40,000 a year, paying $1,500 a month in rent, not feasible at all. You should not be paying more than 25 to 30% of your net monthly income on rent. Nobody can show me a $700 house in a good neighborhood.
We only have a couple minutes left in this segment, but how do you resolve that, do you think, in terms of the houses you all are attacking? I think it's a great thing you're doing in putting this art up, celebrating the people who live in those communities, as well as taking on the landlords, even though they might call you names for doing it, to say, this is your house and this is what you're doing to us.
Easy.
So what do you do?
Instead of handing Michael Beatty over $100 million of our tax money for Harbor Point, can you imagine if you go over to East or West Baltimore and you invested even half that money into affordable housing for lower middle class citizens, you would see such a tremendous change in the city.
Now, here's what we have to do here. We do have to take a break here. And we have a truncated show today. I have to want you to go to citypaper.com/wallhunters. Read this article. Really read it. It's really an important piece that Ed Baynard has written. We will come back to this in the next 2 weeks on this show, bringing these folks back, along with residents that they've highlighted in this article, and activists. And if we can get the city to join us on the air with city council people, we will, to begin addressing this problem and figure out what we do and how we build the kind of city we all want to see. And I want to thank, once again, Baynard Woods and the City Paper for writing the kind of pieces that really make us think about where our city is going in very creative ways. Always good to see you, brother.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Nether, glad you're on the street. It's good to see you looking good.
Good to
see
you,
too. It's been a long
time,
man. Good to see you and that you're putting these pieces up. You got to see the pieces that they're painting that are on these walls. You've got to see what they're doing. It's in the City Paper. You don't want to miss that. citypaper.com/wallhunters. Carol Hott, who is one of the voices that – pardon?
Some great photos
and
by
great
Justice.
Great photos. And Carol Ott for the work you're doing here to push this thing. And
you can
see her stuff at the blog Baltimore City Slumlord Watch, which we'll link to on our website.
Yay, thank you.
All right, thank you all.
Awesome. All right, thanks.
We're going to take a brief break and come back with Rose Aguilar from San Francisco to look at protests around the country, what people are doing to fight for their own communities. Stay with us.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.